Good evening. Very thankful for that song. Because He lives, I can face tomorrow. Because He lives, all fear is gone. Doesn't necessarily mean that I'll never fear again, because I, at least, I've had fears, and I think probably each one of us who are human have had fears, but true fear is gone. I don't have to dwell and live in fear. I can live in newness of life. I can live in confidence of my Savior and what He did for me. And that's my burden tonight. That we have our affections centered in the right place. There's several scriptures I'd like for us to read, and some of them I might try to paraphrase, and we may not turn to all of them because of time. But the Lord has really been putting on my heart about us also being risen with Christ, and the scriptures mention that multiple times, and we don't have time to go through each one of those situations in the New Testament. It talks about being risen with Christ or being buried with Christ. But I'd like to start in Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 1, starting at verse 17. It's talking about, it's Paul writing to the Ephesians, said that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of Him. That the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of His calling, and what the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of His power to usward, who believe, according to the working of His mighty power, which He wrought in Christ, when He raised Him from the dead, and set Him at His own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come, and hath put all things under His feet, and gave Him to be the head over all things to the church, which is His body, the fullness of Him that filleth all in all. And then chapter 2, and you hath He quickened, or made alive, resurrected, risen. You hath He quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past, in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. That describes each one of us at some point in our lives. It says, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past. But God, thank the Lord, but God, who is rich in mercy, for His great love, wherewith He loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace are ye saved, and hath raised us up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, risen with Christ, risen in Christ, dead in sin, dead in trespasses. Every one of us, says all, every one of us had conversation in times past with these things. We were the lust of our flesh, somewhere in the scriptures talks about the pride of life. At some point in our lives, we've all had conversation with that, and we are dead. But God, who is rich in mercy, hath quickened us, made us alive, made us to sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come He might show the exceeding riches of His grace and His kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. He's been doing that for ages now. 2,000 years since Jesus was here, He's been showing exceeding riches of his grace. We have so many examples to look back on. We have our own experiences to look back on. Exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are ye saved through faith. That not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. We are quickened, made alive, risen with Jesus. So now I'd like to go to the kind of the topic verse in Colossians 3, starting with verse 1. So, if you're risen with Christ, seek those things which are above. If you claim to be risen with Christ, if you claim that quickening, you claim that seat with the children of God, where it says he's lifted us up to a place together in Christ Jesus. If you are risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. So obviously the written on the board, affection. And that's where my burden has been recently, is where my affection is. And I looked up that word affection, and obviously it can mean love and tenderness. But in this sense, it seems to be more in line with passion. Set, what are you passionate about? What is it that makes you really get excited? What's the things that you are passionate about? And if you allow me, set your passion on things above. I don't think the Lord is looking at us and saying, hey, you don't need to be thinking about next time you get to go fishing or the next time you get to whatever. I really enjoy to go fishing. I really enjoy being outside. Just this weekend, I got the opportunity to be down on the Tanchpo River, and I really, really enjoy that. I would say that I have an affection for going down to the Black Bayou on the Tanchpo River. That's one of the places that I think is one of the most beautiful places that I've been. I enjoy going there. And I do, I would say I have an affection towards going there. But I don't think the Lord is saying, hey, you can't have anything enjoy unless it's just straight out of the book. You know, it has to be one of these verses. You can't have any passion or any desires outside of the specific, you know, spiritual realm. That's not what this is saying. It's talking more about what is it that drives me? What is it that in my quiet time, and this is a challenge for myself because I find I'm challenged by when I think about the time I've spent reading God's word and on my face before him. Maybe sometimes I'll be praying to him and say, Lord, why does it feel like I'm not very close to you right now? Or why does it feel like I'm not able to really reach you? I don't know if y'all ever had that feeling when you pray and it kind of feels like you're praying and it just doesn't really ever go anywhere, or you wonder if anyone's listening. I don't think I'm the only one who's ever done that, but sometimes I pray and think about that, and the Lord has challenged me multiple times to stop and think about the minutes and the moments of my day and how I spend them and what is filling my time. And I realize I get passionate about things, setting my affection on things that really don't matter in the grand scheme of things. Sometimes I've even gotten distracted by studying things, and the scriptures even mention this. Was it foolish questions and things avoid? I've even gotten distracted of studying the word in a way that to understand things of the Lord. Salvation things to help me get closer to the Lord, instead trying to maybe find out a detail that really, in the grand scheme of things, doesn't matter. I'm a research type person, so I like to figure things out. The devil has even used that, studying something and getting myself where it's, I'm studying something maybe that I'm trying to understand in the scripture, but it's, I hope y'all understand where I'm going with this. Going too far of trying to find out a detail that doesn't really, I get distracted from the actual meaningful things that are in the scriptures. The devil would love for us to get distracted any moment that we sit down trying to gain from God's words, trying to sit down and gain from a moment with the Lord. Many times I don't have a lot of time in the mornings before I try to go to work. I try to get up early, and sometimes I'll go sit down and have worship and realize that I'm starting to doze off, so I'll try to get up and move around, and I don't think I'm the only one who deals with that, trying to spend those moments with the Lord. And I can tell you, I don't think I'm the only one. The devil is right there, getting up early with me, trying to get me distracted of, what's the weather going to be today? Or you're reading through the scriptures and you realize, oh, I never heard that name before. Let me look that person up. Let me dig. I'm not saying it's wrong to study and understand everything about the scriptures, but I can tell you my experience is the devil has used even that to get my affections turned to studying something that really, in the grand scheme of things, doesn't matter. It's getting me sidetracked from what the Lord is actually trying to talk to me about, trying to help me understand how can I not get so passionate about little things that maybe I'm dealing with things at work, or maybe I have a personality issue with someone, and instead the Lord would like for me to learn about some patience or learn about some kindness, or maybe trying to get me a little deeper in understanding what salvation means and freedom from the sin that I've dealt with in my life. But instead I start getting distracted with all these other little things. There's throughout the day as well, whenever I've had many times I had the intention of spending my lunch break studying the scriptures or spending time in prayer. Had the intention, good intention, of taking maybe a devotional book or a book that's written by that's dealing with a topic I'm trying to understand more about. Many times when I get to that lunch break, I either get distracted, read something else, go talk to someone during lunch break, go for a walk instead, and I've been challenged by the Lord of where did that passion go that you had this morning when you left for work and you grabbed that book saying, this is what I'm going to do at lunchtime today. I'm going to do that today. But then life happened. I got distracted. I got busy at work, and work got tough. And so then, my excuse is usually, well, I just need a moment to just, I need a moment. I need to just, clear my brain a little bit, clear my head a little bit. So I'm going to do something mindless. I'm going to learn something a little, I've told y'all before that I enjoy learning things about science, or so maybe I'll even look something like that up and get distracted. Is it wrong to learn how something works? Is it wrong to understand how a two-stroke engine operates and how to make it more efficient? Is that wrong? No, it's not. It's not wrong to, but when it starts, those kind of things start getting in the way of what my affection should be on, that's when it starts becoming a problem. If you are risen with Christ, set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. The other thing that I've dealt with, things on the earth. A lot of us have possessions, maybe families, homes to take care of. Jesus addressed this specifically in Luke chapter 12, where, and we'll not turn there, but he was telling his disciples, you know, take no thought for tomorrow. Don't worry about all the things that you've got. You live normal life. Every one of us lives life. Don't worry about what you're going to eat. Don't worry about what you're going to put on. Don't worry about whether or not you're going to have enough for next month or next Tuesday or whatever. Don't worry about whether or not you're tall enough, short enough, light enough, heavy enough. Don't worry about all those things. Can you even do anything about it if you think about it? Can a man add a cubit to his stature? Can you even change it if you wanted to? He said, don't worry about those things. He said also that he brought out the fowls of the air and the lilies. He said, they just exist and they grow, and the Lord takes care of those things. He helps them. And then later on, he says, seek ye the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And all those things that you worry about, they'll be added unto you. All those things that you've been concerning yourself with, all these affections, there are things on the earth, my paycheck, my well-being, and not that we shouldn't try to take care of ourselves or provide for our families, but living in fear and having a passion for the paycheck, having a passion for how far can I make it? The Lord has had to check me on things in this way. Where is my passion? Where is my affection? Is it on things above, or is it on my raiment, the meat on my table, all these other things? The Lord said, don't worry about those things. Seek me. Seek the kingdom of God first, and all that stuff will be added unto you. Don't worry about those things. And then in that same passage, I think it's in the one in Luke, where he said, fear not, little flock, for the Father wants to give you the kingdom. He wants you to have all of these things, which are better than worrying about your paycheck or worrying about whether or not you're going to have that nice new car that you've been saving up for the last 2 years or whatever it might be. And I'm not trying to put my finger on any specific items. I think you'll understand what I'm trying to get at here is where do I spend my time? Where do I spend my efforts trying to understand? If I am risen with Christ, where do I place my affection? Seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. Then he goes on and talks about a lot of things to mortify in our bodies, mortify in our lives, to put those things off. Then farther down, he says in verse 12, put on, therefore, as elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, longsuffering, forbearing one another, and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also you are called in one body, and be ye thankful. How easy is it to have our affection on things above if we're bitter towards someone else? If we're thinking about how someone has wronged us, either within our circles here or at work or at school, maybe someone did step on your back to get that promotion. Maybe someone did climb all over you and step all over you to get around to the place that you are actually trying to go for, and whether it be your job or school or whatever it is. How easy is it to have our affection on things above if, verse 12, put on therefore as elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, That sounds kind of like the fruits of the Spirit. How easy would it be to have our affection on those things, on things above, if I'm focusing, having my passion on what that other person did? Worrying about, well, he did this, and he got to this point because of what he did to me, and look at that person, you know, why are they singing a special? Because I saw what they did last Tuesday, or I know what they said to me 3 monarchs ago, or you understand where I'm going with that, is where is our passion? Am I passionate about unforgiveness? Holding on to that little bit of bitterness somewhere that I'm keeping back here because I really don't like that person because of what they said. Maybe it was a misunderstanding. I'm speaking pretty raw here because I've been there too. And Lord help me that as those things come to the surface that I deal with those. And that's part of the prayer that I pray regularly. Search me, O Lord, and know my heart. Because if those things come up, I don't want that to be something that, because it'll at some point become one of those things I become passionate about when that thing springs back up, when that bitterness springs back up, that I get passionate about it at that point. But Lord, help me that when he shows that to me, that I, instead of, hey, that is right, that person shouldn't have done that to me, instead I can forbearing one another and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. You can't have affection for things above if I'm worried about what everyone else is doing to me. If I'm worried about how far someone else is running ahead of me, or we're not supposed to be judging ourselves against each other. We're supposed to be having our eyes focused on the Lord, setting our affection on him, on things above. Say, Lord, what do you want me to do right now? What do you want me to do about my life? Where do you want me? Where do you want me? I understand sometimes the Lord puts people in our hearts to pray for them and to maybe even work with them. But we're responsible for ourselves. Not a single one of you is going to be able to say anything about me to get me into heaven when judgment day comes. Not a single one of you is going to be able to say anything to the Lord that's going to change his mind about whether I get in or not. Nothing that you say, you're not going to be concerned about me at that point. When you're standing before God, it's going to be, I'm going to have to give account for myself. What was I passionate about? Did I seek those things? Because the Lord, that's what he died. He died for us. I think it's earlier in this, in Colossians, where he said, on his cross, chapter 1, and having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself. He died on the cross, shed his blood on the cross, so that we could be risen with him. We could be risen, what we read about that in Ephesians, that we would be able to be risen and quickened with him and set up in the heavenly place, and that he would then be able to reveal things to us. And then, like he said in Luke, that he would gladly give us the kingdom. He wants us to be a part of his kingdom and have our passions and our affections set on him. Whatsoever you do, let me back up. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your heart to the Lord. And whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. Whatsoever you do. That covers everything. That covers everything. And I can't be bitter in the name of the Lord. I can't be unforgiving in the name of the Lord. I can't be passionate about worldly things in the name of the Lord. I can't be overly passionate about my bank account, my newest hobby, my you name it. I can't be overly passionate about those things in the name of the Lord. And I'm not saying that we can't have hobbies and we can't enjoy them, because I really enjoy fishing. But I could take it too far. I could take that too far. I can take the thirst for knowledge way too far. I could take, you know, I could even say my career going in a good direction. Say, Lord, you know, I'm providing for my family. I'm providing for your work. I'm able to do these things for you. I'm providing for you, Lord. But all the time, we can have, it's actually a passion that's, we're saying it to kind of appease ourselves, but our passion is actually, how much more can I get? How much farther up the ladder can I go? And I'm not saying that we shouldn't climb the corporate ladder, but understand, we got to be careful that where our passion is. Well, the scripture, I think it's actually in that same passage I was talking about in Luke, where he said, where your treasure is, that's where your heart's going to be. Wherever you put your treasure, that's where your heart is going to end up. If that's what you want to chase, if that's what you want to go after, that's where your heart's going to be. Where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Lord, help my treasure to be put in heaven and the kingdom of God on things above. And the Lord is anxious for us to put our focus on Him. And whenever we do, when we are honestly open before Him and say, Lord, I want to know more about You, He is anxious for us to come to Him. And I'm not saying He's going to just dump it out in big basketfuls every time, because we do have to work for it sometimes. But thank the Lord, whenever He is ready to pour out the blessings on us, His children is passionately seeking Him, the blessings that we get from that, the riches that we get from that, those moments, like Brother Marty said several camp meetings ago, you can't take that from me. You can't take those moments from me. When those moments that the Lord pays a special visit, when we're passionate about understanding Him and what He wants out of my life, when He chooses to say, this is what I want you to do, child, or this is how much I love you, you can't take those moments away. You can't take that. I think not Philip, the one underneath the fig tree, Nathaniel. That was a moment that no one could take away from him. When Philip came to him and said, hey, we found the Messiah. This guy, this is him. Nathanael said, can anything good come out of Nazareth? Philip just said, come and see. Just come and see. So he came and saw Jesus and was talking to him for a little bit. And he said, behold, I think he said, an Israelite in whom is no guile, or something like that. And Nathanael was kind of still maybe a little skeptical. And when Jesus said, Nathanael, when you're under that fig tree, I saw you. I was there. I don't know what Nathanael was dealing with underneath that fig tree, but I don't think he was thinking about fishing. I don't think he was... I think there was something deep there that Nathanael was dealing with. Jesus let him know, I saw you. I heard you. You're not alone, Nathanael. And Nathanael was convinced, it's him. That's my Lord. That's my God. That's the moment. You can't take that from me. You couldn't take that from Nathanael. And no one can take it from you either. That those moments... When Jesus said, I see you. I'm right here. I died for you. I died for that. I died for that. I want you to be, well, what does it say? He said, he quicken us. Quicken us together with Christ and raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. He wants us to be with him. He wants us, you just go read the prayer that he prayed right before he got crucified. And he prayed about us, those that were coming, the ones that were there on earth with him, but then he also prayed for those that were in the future, which included us. He wants so bad for us to be a part of his kingdom. He said, "Fear not, little flock, for it is the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom." And then in Romans 8 and 11, in closing, actually, let's go up to verse 9. "But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you." The same one who rose Jesus from the grave is the same one who quickens us, lifts us up to heavenly places, and allows us to sit at his feet and learn and understand more and more that the depths are unfathomable. We can't understand the depth that's available to us, that when we set our affection on things above, that we can be risen. So those that are risen with Christ, if you're risen with Christ, and thank the Lord that we can be because of what today represents, Resurrection Day, Jesus died for us, underwent the most gruesome punishment, died, resurrected, so that we could also be quickened and risen with him, and that if ye then be risen, set your affection on things above. Y'all pray for me. I want to do that. And I have lots of room to grow. And I desire your prayers that I will be true and be able to bring as many people to heaven with me as I can. Y'all pray for me.